All right. I see that the time on my computer is 1:02, which means that we are 2 minutes overdue to start our meeting. And to start us off, I'll ask the director to take roll.
Yes. Stephen Bergeron.
Present.
Rick Fifield is absent today. And sitting in for Rick Fifield would be Gabriel Verdier.
Present.
So we do have a quorum. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. First up on our agenda under old business is 327 Bourbon Street. Do we have an applicant? Looks like we do. So let's have the staff report.
Sure. 327 Bourbon is a blue-rated building. This is a proposal to renovate the building, including proposed modifications to the rear balcony railing and carriage house millwork. Application materials received October 13, 2022 and February 27, 2024, respectively. The applicant has returned with revised details on the rear balcony railing and first floor millwork at the rearmost building, both of which were specifically excluded from the conceptual approval from the January 23rd meeting. The applicant notes that modifications to the guardrails on the Bourbon Street elevation will be submitted separately. At the stairs connecting the previously approved reconstruction to the existing service zone, the applicant proposed to reinstall the historic railing that was previously in place in this location. The existing railing is only 27 inches above the stair nosing, so obviously does not meet modern building code. In order to meet code, the applicant proposed to reinstall the rail with the top of the rail at 42 inches. Below the rail, the applicant proposed to install two new 4x4 bottom rails spaced evenly below the historic rail and arranged to satisfy building code. Staff questions if the 4x4 notation is possibly a drafting error, as this would be quite cumbersome under the railing. The railing detail shows the top rail as 2.5 inches wide and the bottom rail measuring only 1.5 inches wide. A 2x4 added bottom rail would be more appropriately sized. Besides the concern over the dimensions of this element, staff finds the concept simple and effective and would likely be fairly inconspicuous. In addition to the height modification, the applicant also proposed a new grab bar. This is shown at a 34-inch height and attached to the pickets of the historic railing with 3/4-inch bent steel rods. Definitely concerned with this aspect of the proposal is the fact that the historic rail pickets look to be quite slender in dimension. Staff questions if people leaning or grabbing the grab bar could potentially damage the historic railing and if there may be a more secure method of attachment. At the existing service aisle balcony, the applicant proposed to reconstruct the existing railing and expand its height of 42 inches. Stretching a guardrail in this manner can sometimes affect the proportions of the overall building elevation, but staff believes there is sufficient height to the service aisles that a railing height increase will not be particularly noticeable. At the rearmost building, the applicant has submitted a few different options for replacement millwork. As previously noted, this millwork previously in this location was certainly not original, with photographs from the 1940s and 50s showing different millwork in its openings. There is a question about the shape of the openings themselves. The previously existing fan light was a faux element, but it is unclear if this was always a faux feature, or if in fact this opening previously had an arched top. Two options are shown for the treatment of this arched top area. Option A proposes to expose and paint these stacked lintels that are currently present in the wall. Option B proposes a trim board around the arch and a solid panel. Three different options are shown for the Munchen pattern treatment in the French doors. Option one appears to be similar to the previously existing conditions with four rows of unevenly sized lights. Option two simply shows a single light in the muntins, while option three shows three horizontal muntins to create a four-light door. Although matching the previously existing conditions, seeing option one in a drawing looks a little busy, again noting that the previously existing doors date to sometime after the 1960s. When taking contact with the traditional windows above, option two may be a little too simplified. Therefore, staff has a preference for door option three. In summary, staff requests commentary from the applicant and committee regarding the dimensions of the proposed rails under the historic stair rail, the attachment point of the grab bar, the preferred treatment at the rear building fan light, and the preferred light pattern at the rear building French doors.
All right, thank you. Applicant, could you please state your name, address, and relationship to the property?
Hello, Miles Martin, architect of record, 3328 Bank Street, 70119.
Thank you. Do you have a response to the staff report?
Eric Gates, Case
Preparation
Consultant,
1026
North Carolina Avenue.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you all for entertaining this one here today. We've been here several times before in review of this. We've reeled it down to the last two items. This meeting follows our commission meeting from February 21st, where we're returning with the two items that were flagged, being the handrail conditions on the rear and the rear carriage door and design. As a reminder, this is a historical tax credit project, so we're going through the CHIPO process on all of our details and refinement. Happy to report that on-site, actively, the re-roofing is underway, as well as scaffolding has been erected along Bourbon Street in conjunction with some permits that have been issued to date to focus on that work. Also, as a reminder, we've been continuing to cooperate with the VCC as much as we can on everything to date. That includes sidewalks as this project has progressed, and just having an open door of communication has been appreciative with the staff here on it. In response to the report, I'm sure we can kind of, because there's multiple kind of nuances and details in here as we read the staff report and looking at the items at hand. One of the comments relates to the existing historical railing with the X bracing on it, and the concern with the attachment for the handrail connecting to what can be considered the fragile or sensitive cross members of the woodwork, with our standoff handrail that's needed as this is a stair. I'm sure we can find an alternative solution to where that standoff handrail is not engaging that historical existing handrail that we're elevating, but more on the surface face of that column on the right-hand side, and then attaching back to our balustrade permanent at the top of the stair. The closure underneath that's noted on the dimensions of the new members being added to reduce the 4-inch sphere in between the railing, and then the 6-inch sphere closing between the tread and the bottom of that railing. We're happy to fine-tune that with any dimensional lumber as we can, if the 4x4s are seen a little bit too heavy as we're presenting it right there. I don't think we had much comment back on the rebuild of the gallery rail.
We're here, can I just ask a question?
Happy to pause on this and focus.
And this is going to express my ignorance, and so I'm loath to ask this question. Is it correct to measure the height perpendicular to the rail versus vertically from the tread?
Perpendicular to the rail, so it's correct.
Okay. I thought it was vertical from the tread, so, and I should know that as an architect. I'm embarrassed to know.
I sort of had the same question because it seems like when you're on a stair, based on some diagrams, isn't it usually the height is 34 to 38 inches versus 42?
That's the handrail that you grab. The railing we're actually looking at is considered a guardrail. Guardrails needed when you have over 30 inches of fall on the outside of the rail. So this railing's elevated on the second floor. So it's a guardrail first to protect on fall protection, and then you have the handrail attached for graspability as you're going down the stairs, and this is also on our path of egress. So the fire marshal is very interested in this and isn't concerned with historical detailing. He's very concerned with code functionality on there. Brian, in direct response to, I research this every time I get to this condition just as well.
Because I just wanted to ask, so you're probably right.
The game is the 4-inch sphere as well. So first we started with the existing historical rail, which we doubled back and reconfirmed that the diamond crossing pattern does indeed up to date for current code standards. So we could confirm that, so we didn't need to provide any kind of infill back panel or screen or anything kind of funny there. So then the next objective was when we had to raise it to that 42-inch height, which then creates that delta, that void down below. So then we were just trying to infill with the simplest horizontal material that we could inside of there.
Right.
So it just turns into a game of inches and dimensions down there, and trying to highlight the historical existing rail and not call attention to anything else we're adding on there. And I will say, too, in defense of that historical rail, it is super beefy.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's great.
Yeah, it's really solid in its thickness and everything on there. So I agree, though, I don't like the attachment of the grab rail on there, and that's what I was saying, we can find another attachment on there, and we're not trying to call attention to that grab rail either.
I'm still kind of confused, though. So this elevation that I'm looking at, that's a new grab rail at the top of this grill work, historic?
Technically, so if you look at this diagram on the right.
So is this the section of that elevation?
Yes, ma'am, and the handrail's not visually apparent in the side elevation of the historical rail. It seemed to be a little bit graphically more confusing, hence the section showing the handrail attachment. And then our other rail is, which we have seen various versions of in prior photographs, and the existing rail that's in place was determined to have no historical significance. We're purely rebuilding that one back to traditional detailing, just stretching it up to that 42 mm-hmm. inches so we can get that height, and that way not have any business with verticals or a standoff back-mounted railing or anything like that. The second major issue right flagged here was the design of the carriage doors on the first floor of the rear building. Here, as we've kind of gone round and round, because it's a little bit of a complicated, again, historical mess of what was original, what was created, what was fake, and what was real, we much preferred to go with kind of an option route here to see what the preference of the room could be. That includes, you know, what we do need, as we know from the state fire marshal, we need a 32-inch clear door, so that the doors, number one, had to operate in a single leaf capacity, because it does access a restaurant bar space behind it. And then just how do we treat this kind of arch head where because we did get issued an exploratory demo, an interior demo permit, it allowed us to strip back some of the superficial trim that was applied to there with that faux fan light that was up there, and kind of get back to some of the original structure. We did provide some kind of closer up photos on there, and we still looked this one for a long time, just trying to make sense out of it. If you look at that lower left hand photo and you see the beige kind of one by with the 2x1 flat around there, we all determined that was non-original. When you could get to pull that back, what we did find and what we tried to highlight in those photos, and it was a little hard to discern, was some original beaded casing for that original door opening on that trim. So what we're proposing is to pull out that modern beige wood that's still on top of there to get back to that beaded trim, true old lumber that's behind there, and use that as the basis for the door insetting in that opening. And then looking at the arc transom head, where we were kind of going back and forth on what we've exposed, is there's no steel lintel above this opening. This was a carriageway opening, so it's a true wood structural header on here, which is nice, but also a little bit scary. It's also a little bit scary because it's a load-bearing wall. What we're looking at as we're looking at the opening is the floor joist for the second floor, or we're looking at the ends of it as well. So while we're not looking to introduce any new steel in this condition, what we're looking at is using continuing the use of the wood structural header in that position. And then how are we cladding the exposed stucco depression, where what the demo is showing in that gray or reddish brownish is some original wood members that look to be surface applied. And so our first thing was like, okay, that's historical, that's important. Do we just paint those wood boards that are up in place out of respect to the historical elements that are there and kind of keep it all exposed and a little bit raw? The option on the bottom has us facing that original surfacing with some painted plywood and then applying a little bit of simple trim to trim out and case that opening. The second part, right, is with what we did want to do is continue to introduce light into this bar room behind it. So we did want to, and kind of taking some feedback from our last presentation on this area where the acceptance of the glazing was felt to be appropriate. Just some comments on the proportion of the balance of the size of the vertical on that glazing versus the recessed panels below. And then how do we break up that glazing just as well? So here we were just kind of showing some true subdivided options, a full option, a four panel upper, which matches our doors on the left of the four panel subdivided on the left rear building. And then the third option was kind of bringing back, which I don't think we were a fan of, is the previous equal subdivided kind of perimeter division going on there.
And just also to point out, with the arch that has that kind of reddish brown paint, so the arch section, and then of course the members that run down the side of the opening have of course, a reddish brown color. They also do have a green color. They do appear to have been treated as exterior painted elements at the time that they were in use. So we do have at least a couple of colors that were painted over on that arch section that implied that it was an exterior visual element.
All right.
There. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's a lot.
Committee, do you have any questions for the applicant or the staff?
In regards to, or just comments, I guess. I guess in regard to these doors, I kind of want to agree with staff on the light pattern, the simpler one. I think it's the four light versus, what is that, like an eight, more than an eight light? It does look kind of busy, and sort of looking at it in relationship to the windows above, it seems like it's probably a little bit more appropriate. In regards to the header, I'm looking at some of the existing photos, and, you know, based on it, Erica, you're right, it looks like at one point in time, those openings were exterior because it has some sort of latticework doors attached to it, and it seemed like in that photo, the header was more of a beadboard exposed, a little bit more rusted. But given the nature of what this elevation is now and what you're trying to do in this rear building, it seems like it might be more appropriate to, like, I'm sort of favoring the solid panel just because that exposed rustication was a different point in time with a different function and a different look of that first and second floor, which is clearly gone then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think it might be more appropriate. And then given, so that ground floor now is all, is it all enclosed or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all
enclosed, yeah. I mean, that's kind of my thought on it. The only other thing I would just kind of ask, is this, one of these doors you mentioned is for egress. Is there some sort of panic bar that has to be incorporated on the interior side?
No, the occupant load is less than 49 persons when you get into the assembly rating and you get into the crash bar situation. And at the same time, when the business is going to be in operation, those doors are going to be open because it's more inviting to get to people. Because you can see when you're in Bourbon and you look down the side alley, you can see back to the rear structure where those doors are.
What's the thickness of the doors that you're proposing here?
We want them to be an inch and 3/4 at minimum, and two. Also, we're getting two shop drawings. Uh-huh. We're going to follow up with the shop drawings from the contractor to you know, get into finer detail on a granular level, and including submission of the hardware just as well.
Yeah, I'm just questioning it because sometimes you get limited in the hardware if the door is too thin, and then if you're saying that the frame is structural, then that also presents sometimes some limitations on how thick you can go with the door. Like if you want to do a 1 3/4 inch door, sometimes it's possible,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's not. So it's just kind of a question mm-hmm. of what you think the thickness of it is going to be. But it sounds like it's going to be on the thinner side.
It's going to be a little bit on the thinner side. It's a taller door naturally as well because we're going back to the vertical height of that original opening too on there, which also kind of dictated some of the proportions on it. As you see that center style where our door hardware needs to be is also where we chose to keep that style right there for hardware, so it doesn't weaken our door mm-hmm. as well.
So you're talking about this center...
We do, correct. I did not mention that. There is a center vertical mullion. When I was explaining the structural wood header where this masonry wall and the load-bearing wall and all the floor joists are engaging with, right now it's presented as existing as a large wide opening. We do need a center. We do want to introduce a center rail into the door so as support because there's just a failure, concern over failure over time because we're not using a structural steel lintel. That the wood, the forces on the wood are just going to continue to cause it to sag, and eventually those doors are going to bind up.
Quick question.
Yes.
Have y'all looked at the idea of doing this as a center double door with side lights rather than two? Because when these are open, you're just going to have this hanging out there by itself. I feel like somebody's going to run into it. But if you
make these side lights and then have the center be a single swing opening. Have you looked at that at all?
At this stage, not completely opposed to the idea. Our kind of our marching orders from the building owner was the more opening, the better. I do respect your concern, though, because we're not showing it with the door open to where there would be a vertical post in the middle on there, which isn't great. It's more, you know, responsive need more than anything on there. Should we keep this kind of design where we're headed with the solid panel going up on the transom and the four lights and visually still have it look the same and lock the outermost panels and turn the center and then operational? Not opposed to that at all. I think it could help with the function too, honestly.
And then you could actually have two mullions
on either
supporting,
side.
Yeah,
correct.
Rather than just one central one.
Correct, and agreed.
Okay, any other questions?
Yeah, I still have a question about this railing with these bottom pieces. They just, and I know you guys have probably gone through this already with that, but they do seem really chunky in elevation. And I understand the issues with code.
And what we're showing is two members of thicker in nature. We could easily switch to three members and have them be small, so proportionally it's not as distracting with the heaviness being on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And paint them a different color in contrast to their historical rail as well, so they're not competing.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to blend them.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe smaller numbers, and then the coloring might help a bit.
Is the space between that bottom rail and the existing stairs too big as it is right now?
There's nothing there right now. So, I mean, the railing's been salvaged, but
okay.
The connection back to the rear structure that fell down took that stair with it.
I guess my question is, oftentimes when we're trying to add some height for guardrail height to railings, we add on to the top rather mm-hmm. than pulling the railing up and add to the bottom.
This was a discussion we had in when we last discussed this, that it would be more, since we have the opportunity with it not being attached, it is less noticeable to put something at the bottom than it is, of course, to add to the top of a historic railing. And we have that option since we have to reinstall it anyway. So
another thing we looked at, too, is doing a closed stringer on the outside face. And having a closed stringer will allow us to close that gap between the bottom of the existing historical rail to get We like that approach and why it helps, but then we kept circling back to these old original photos showing an open stringer on the sides. So we were kind of pushed and pulled in either direction, and like Eric was saying, we were kind of taking some cues and wanting to hike the railing up instead of building off on top of it. And two, right, that tread dimension down below is a little, you got a little more wiggle room with the 6 inches than once you get past the tread. And you get into the 4-inch range too at the bottom. But we could also drop that rail, split the difference, and do a pipe rail independent of the historical rail on top to kind of lessen the effect of the bottom infill. And we could do a smaller bottom infill and then do a pipe rail on top to close. Sometimes I don't know what's better with those competing.
Yeah, I know. Like if you're looking at it, what's going to stand out more? But have you propose that as an option to at least have staff consider it?
How many proposals we've had?
Oh, yeah. Have y'all gone through a bunch with this already?
So, this is our ninth time here, but we have not been
a couple.
Not
we haven't talked about
it. Let's be clear. We were stuck on mechanical.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
This
is the first time we're looking at the rail.
Uh-huh.
I do think maybe using a different material to get the height that we need might help with the reading of this rail as an historic rail that has been moved from its original location and then other pieces added to satisfy code. And I don't know if, you know, usually we do everything on the top. I'm not married to that idea because I understand the issues, I don't know if splitting the difference would look better or doing it all on the top or all on the bottom, but I do feel like maybe a pipe rail, something it might be less conspicuous than the 4x4s. And it does, it seems like you meant to call out 2x4s on flat, or is it really a 4x4 post
and
running?
And what I'm depicting is a true 4x4 to get it dimensionally to work to not allow that 4-inch sphere to pass through the assembly. So we can increase the number of go-by-2x4s on the flat. And then the other thing, too, is structural integrity. A 2x4 on the flat, you're starting to worry about a little bit of sag over time on there, so then you introduce an intermediate member, you know, midway through the landing to help support that. I do like the idea, though, of that steel, of a tube steel, right? Less in profile because it doesn't have that hard edge. A lot more structurally stable. It's not going to sag or cause any issues on there. If we're looking at more of a bottom replacement, we could do three smaller in the variety, inch and a half style diameter painted tubes at the bottom instead of the bulkier 4x4.
It's not really shown as a 4x4 in section though, right? Because then you'd be looking at it being almost, it would be thicker at the bottom in section than...
You're correct. The bottom of that section is not properly accounting for the handrail. That section's more focusing on the handrail attachment.
So this would be a 4x4 rather than a 2x4?
It can be a 2x4 or a 4x4. The 2x4 in the flat would is not preferred because of the concern for sag. So if you stood the 2x4 vertical, that would suffice to clear those dimensions.
Is there I'm looking at some of the existing photos, which was really nice about this historic rail, was the termination, the curved termination at the top and the bottom. Have you guys thought about, like, if there's a way to incorporate that again, or was that something you guys decided to, like, out because of the sort of the code?
We're not looking at chopping the ends and modifying it. You're right, you do see that term, that subtle kind of horizontal back alignment with there. That's intended to stay the same.
And it does terminate at what looks like a newel.
Yeah, it looks like a portion of a newel.
Which might be meaningful if we're changing the height of that.
That
or is that a different
give us
rail?
Full control with that newel, allow for that higher connection point where that rail rides up. Yes.
You'd be moving the newel up, or?
Well, the length of the newel would be taller to allow for that 42-inch top of that rail to meet on there and not, like, overshoot it.
Is the newel's gone? Did the newel
newel's
go with
gone.
The? Okay.
Do we have both newels?
That's a picture of the railing not in place. The one on the left.
Is that, right?
That's a picture of it in storage.
Right here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think let's ask for a public comment. Do we have any public comment on this proposal? Okay, yes, please introduce yourself.
Hi, Michelle Duhon. I'm actually their tax credit consultant. I'll just throw out there, I know the National Park Service won't want to see the historic rail sandwiched in between something on the top and on the bottom. They'll want to see it fully at the top or fully at the bottom. No sandwich.
Okay.
That was my only comment.
Certainly, we want you to satisfy the Park Service.
Yes. I'm going to have to come back. We can avoid it.
You can also have them contact us.
Yeah,
they
usually
do. Do we have any other public comment? See none? Okay. I'd hate for these folks to have to come back to us with the proposal. We've kind of talked about this railing a lot and some different configurations that might be more workable. There's some details that maybe need to be worked out. Does the staff feel comfortable working that out with the applicant? Okay. All right. And I think we're in agreement on the rear openings. and the rebuilding of the existing kind of more typical railing. So are we ready for a motion?
I just have a question. So are, based on the comments on the header and doors, are we also in a good place to come? Or should that be something that goes back to staff to work out between the two options?
I'm in agreement with your comments on those openings at the back, and staff was just looking for our input on that, and I think they can handle the details at staff level, including the configuration of the doors and whether there's a center structural piece. I think that's kind of an owner decision. I'm okay with it from an architectural perspective, but owner-architect might want to explore other options from a functional perspective.
I would suggest showing the owner a picture of that, because I don't think he's going to be happy with that stuck in the middle.
Yeah.
For insurance, for a million reasons, people are going to run into that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know what this is going to be. It's for insurance.
So I think kind of conceptually, we're in agreement on that, and staff can work out the details with the applicant.
And that's essentially rear carriage door type B. I'll just spell it out. Okay. Well, I'll make a motion to conceptually approve the guardrail designs with the details to be worked out with staff, including correcting some of the details of the handrails so that they can clearly see the intention of that historic curb. Gladys work railing. And in regards to the rear carriage house doors, conceptually approve the solid panel with simplified trim and the four light doors.
Okay, I think I would like, would you accept? Yes.
With details to be worked out with staff.
And would you accept an amendment to just clarify that? We expect the applicant to revise this crisscrossed stair rail based on today's discussion.
Yes.
And work it out with staff.
Yes.
Okay, great. In that case, I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you all for coming in, for all your hard work. Next up on the agenda is 921 to 25 Burgundy. We have an applicant, so let's have the staff report.
This is a proposal to build a new 2.5-story dependency in the rear yard for application materials received December 20th, 2023 and February 20th, 2024, respectively. Revised materials, including new structural plans and additional development of details already reviewed by staff in preparation for this meeting, were submitted 24 hours before this hearing. Changes include items that were already presented and ultimately rejected by the at the committee level during the 2020 review of this building under a previous architect. Since staff is unable to review a new, larger set within that short period of time, and since several changes were already discussed and then eliminated from the previous proposal, staff finds review of the obsolete drawings at this hearing to be an unproductive use of time and requests deferral until the 3/26 hearing where the new set may be considered.
Okay, and we have an applicant here. Applicant, please state your name, relationship to the property, response to the staff report.
Catherine Harmon, LK Harmon Architects. I just have a real quick question. Of course, we knew it was going to be deferred, but since we had the drawings completed, we thought we'd submit them knowing that it was going to trigger a deferral, which is logical. Specifically, though, we wanted to get a read on, if we could, the parapet versus the way that the previous drawings by the previous architect was conceptually approved was this condition. And we want to do it like this. And the new drawings show that.
And the reason, and part of the reason why none of that was put in here yet or anything was because the initial proposal reviewed in 2020 initially had a parapet. It was discussed at some length, and ultimately it was removed from the proposal. Fifield in particular had some issues with the parapet, at least as it was presented before. I did not have the opportunity with the short lead time to be able to go in and research the previous discussions on the parapet to be able to provide that information for y'all to make a kind of informed recommendation to the committee. So that's why I was hoping to wrap that into the 3/26 report.
Okay.
I was just looking for that kind of information, like why wasn't it ever a parapet discussion? dealt with. I would just love to know what the problem was with the parapet. I'm sure we'll share that with me again. I'll go and follow it. That's all I want to do. I don't want to take up any more time because I agree with the problem.
I just have a quick question. Is there another service building behind the proposed building?
No, this is a new construction.
New construction.
A parking lot above.
Okay, so it's not up against another building.
The parking lot that's 2 feet below grade. We're going to have a retaining wall effect. That is the space. So I just really would love to hear what the problem was.
Do you have a copy of the property report? Has it been sent to you?
Yes.
It should be in there.
Okay.
If this was discussed in 2020, it's in there.
The recordings are also available online. If you want to go back to the meeting where it was discussed, listen to the recording. That might have more information.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because this is the kind of information I need in order to go forward. So, thank you.
Okay. I should ask for public comment. If there's any public comment, there is none. We have staff asking for deferral and an applicant who's amenable. Do we have a motion for deferral?
I'll make a motion for deferral.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Looking forward to looking at it next time. Next up under new business is 737 to 39 Barracks. Do we have an applicant present? 737 to 39 Barracks. Not seeing an applicant. We'll hang on and save that one for last. See if someone shows up. Next up would be 1000 to 04 Governor Nichols and 1131 to 41 Burgundy. Do we have an applicant? Looks like we do. Let's have the staff report.
The proposed work is associated with 1131 through 33 Burgundy, which is a pink-rated building. This is a proposal to selectively demolish and reconstruct the surface and masonry wall. Per application and materials received January 30th, 2024 and February 23rd, 2024, respectively. The applicant submitted two engineer's reports and diagrammatic drawings for proposed reconstruction of the upper floor at the rear service cell at 131 through 33 Burgundy. Multiple violation letters were issued for this property as the wall has been visibly deflecting and structural ties were installed without permit at some point prior to 2018. Following Hurricane Ida in 2021, the wall continued to move and two engineers were consulted. The first report provided by Robert Anderson is dated April 13th, 2022. It states in brief that the tiebacks provide some support, but they do not address all issues. And in their opinion, the masonry wall is in danger of falling. The opinion was that the brick wall is in danger of falling and should be incrementally dismantled and rebuilt in kind. The wood members which tie into the wall have been compromised due to rot and should also be addressed in the repair. If the portable brick footing below the wall in question is found to be in acceptable condition, it may be capped with concrete to level and used as the foundation for the rebuilt wall. End quote. Mr. Anderson's statement, in our expert opinion, this brick wall is in danger of falling and should be incrementally dismantled and rebuilt in kind. If the portable brick footing below the wall in question is found to be in acceptable condition, end quote, leads staff to understand that Mr. Anderson was referring to reconstruction of the entire wall, not just the upper floor. However, this is not explicitly stated. The applicant also consulted Emma Taylor of Prove Engineering, who provided a report dated September 22, 2022. This report is much more extensive in identifying Hurricane Ida as a contributing factor and noting observations on the site. Suggested repairs are not detailed in this report beyond recommendations that an experienced licensed mason correct the wall. However, drawings were also produced by Fruba as follows. The upper floor of the service cell is noted as, quote, rebuild load-bearing masonry wall as required to meet ECC requirements. No structural ties are shown in section, but damaged rafters are to be repaired or replaced in kind. A 2x header is shown where the rafters meet the masonry wall with half-inch Hilti hit Z rods at 16 inches on center with HY270 epoxy and hit SC sleeve or approved equivalent and Simpson LSSR rafter hangers to be installed. The reconstruction of the wall is shown wrapping around a portion of the north rampart side of the wall and a typical detail calls for Simpson heli ties to be installed at 12 inches on center wrapping the corner. It is unclear if the ties would only be installed in mortar joints. Staff notes that this drawing is noted as for pricing only and is unstamped. Staff finds the drawings a bit diagrammatic and would find the addition of architectural drawings helpful, but otherwise seeks advice to the committee regarding the proposed structural repairs.
Thank you. Applicant, please state your name, address, and relationship to the property.
Yeah, my name is Michael Russo. I'm the licensed masonry contractor for this project. My address is 627 Lyon Street.
Do you have a response to the staff report?
Well, my only really response is that I have the same information that because I'm the one who submitted it. I do think that, in my estimation, that's approximately 10 to 12 feet from the top of the wall down that we had planned to demo and repair and structurally tie into the return walls where there's visible structural separation in some of the photos that you showed there. The tieback system, from what I understand, was installed sometime post-Katrina, but Mike Wendell, the current HOA president, was not on board at that time, so he really doesn't know anything about it. I have the ability to take off the restraint plates on the exterior of the building while we do the demo, and if you don't want them back on there because they didn't get permission to put them on there, that's fine with me. But if you guys would like them to remain, I could just as easily put them back on the building. If you need anything else from Karuba, I'm happy to just shoot them an email and let them know you need some further detail on the plans.
All right. Thank you.
I also had suggested in my scope of work to remove the sheetrock from the floor below, see the condition of the wall that we were not demoing, so we can kind of make a determination on how extensive the damage is that we can't see, and perhaps the tough point to repair whatever is necessary before demoing and adding new weight to the top of that building.
Okay, seems prudent. Committee, do we have any questions for the staff or the applicant?
So based on the existing conditions, has staff seen this wall in person?
Our inspector has. I have not.
Okay. And are they sort of in agreement that it's really the top portion and not the bottom portion of the wall?
The visible deflection is much more severe at the top. They didn't make a determination that the bottom was not in need of it, but that it does appear the biggest area of concern is at the top. And the drawings, I'll note too, didn't show the ties remaining. If the wall is being reconstructed, can we get clarification on whether or not the ties will still be needed?
Sure, I can inquire with them. I think at that point it would be sort of a preventative measure and not something that's actively holding the wall back. In my worthless opinion, I don't see the harm in having them remain, but if aesthetically or if they cross the line with installing them without permission, and like I said, you want them gone, it's just as easy for me to remove them as it is for them to remain.
And then the full wall, it's a three-white wall?
Correct.
And you're taking all of it off and rebuilding?
Correct. Approximately 12 feet down from the top there.
I think we kind of, you sort of mentioned it, it may be prudent to take a look at a foot or maybe even 3 feet below just to kind of see what the wall is doing before you the existing wall that's going to remain before you start building. Because, once you tick off some of that finish, you may find that you will need to do some repairs before you start rebuilding.
I'm sorry, I didn't know the first part of what you said.
To do a little bit of demo to take off the some of the finish. So the sheetrock you had mentioned on the
end. On the second floor.
The second floor. I don't know if it's worth even look. Well, maybe even because you are going to remove that upper portion, like the plaster or whatever's on a parge coat, whatever's on the exterior, to kind of take some of that off as well to get an idea of what the mortar looks like, because it could all be it may not be in the best condition that you're sort of building on top.
Sure, and with the buildings, with all the respect, with all the buildings in the French Quarter, that's the case. You really never know what you're going to find until you start working. At that point, you usually stop and take pictures and then let everyone involved know that the issue is more severe than we anticipated. So I think that'd be less intrusive idea of taking the sheetrock off on the inside to have a look at what's happening wouldn't so much affect the neighbors. You have to keep in mind we're setting up scaffolding on a neighbor's property, so I think ideally you should be there as little time as possible, imposing on them and having as little debris falling from the building onto their property as possible. So I think addressing it from the inside will give us a pretty good idea of what's happening. Based on the pictures on the inside of the attic wall, you can see that there really isn't much of a structural bond with the way the bricks are laid. There's a lot of double and triple stack joints, not in that picture. But in the picture where the bricks look black. So if we find much of the same on the lower level, then the repair will be much more extensive. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's do you have any other comments? I still think that doing a little bit on the exterior, like you said, if you're already going to put the scaffolding out there anyway, the likelihood is that you're going to chip away some of whatever is below that 8 feet that you're building up anyway, so it may be prudent to just take a look at it before you start. It doesn't have to be an entire wall, I guess.
Sure.
Just to kind of get an idea of the nature of it.
Within reason, sure.
Anywhere it's already delineating, especially, would be pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
Not force it.
Okay. Yeah, we're at a disadvantage because we're not engineers, and
right.
certainly would not would be cautious about defying any engineers' opinions. The repairs that are proposed seem reasonable, and your proposal to sort of take things stepwise and go down to the second floor to see how far down the damage goes and how much of this wall does need to be repaired seems reasonable to me. I think this is one of those things where the staff is going to have to be in communication with you to go out there and inspect, and if things do change and if it's more than what's proposed here, then we would just want to have the staff looped
sure.
in on that.
Yeah, pretty standard procedure. I'm okay with that.
Staff okay with that?
We're in communication with him a lot.
Yeah.
And I'll note that this is another situation here where we've got a structural proposal and we don't have any structural engineers on this committee. It would be great to have a structural engineer, someone in the city who would want to volunteer their time to be here for even just these kinds of proposals that don't come up too often, but when they do come up, we'd really benefit from a structural engineer.
More often than they used to.
And we've made a proposal to have a structural engineer position be made available on the Department of Safety and Permits staff, but that has not come.
If you would be happy to sponsor my scholastic endeavors in that sense, I'd be happy to take a few courses.
We'll take
some on a regular basis. Can I get a clarification on what the opinion is of the tieback system? Of your opinion, not the engineer's opinion? Do you want it to stay? Do you care about the aesthetic look? Is it a problem that they didn't get permission?
It's a bit of an issue because we do require typically round plates and not square at the very least, just to prevent that cracking. Ideally, if they can go away because the wall is being rebuilt to sufficient state, we'd like to see them go away.
Okay.
If it's something that they think needs to remain, then we will definitely need to see it in the drawing when a stamped drawing is submitted.
Okay, so in the event that they remain, do you want me to change the exterior plates to round plates?
But I agree with Aaron. I think that if we're rebuilding the wall, we would prefer to not need.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see there being a need except for just, prevent a future.
I think that we'd rather address something as needed and not mm-hmm. something to prevent, potential damage.
Awesome. I'll be sure to let you know.
All right. Should ask for public comment. Do we have any public comment on this proposal? I see none. I guess one last comment for me. The staff has mentioned that they would benefit from architectural drawings. I think what's really missing from the proposal package right now is an elevation drawing from the outside of the building showing this masonry wall and kind of outlining what's to be removed and rebuilt. I think that could be really helpful. And identifying any other elements that are on that wall that'll need to be removed, especially if they're architectural in nature, historic.
So you'd like the engineer to provide something in addition to what we have?
I think it would be helpful to have an elevation drawing showing that.
I'd like to see it include the parapet, too.
Okay, so the parapet on the right-hand side between the two properties?
Through the section. Because right now the section doesn't actually show the parapet, whether or not there's going to be any kind of portable, what that cap will be, you know, those.
Can we get a view from the alley? Okay, so just forgive me. So you're talking about the very top of this wall, you're saying there's a parapet?
Yeah, keep going back. There's a better picture.
Yeah, I'm thinking you're talking about the parapet that runs adjacent to the building. Is that what you mean?
I can't tell from this view or from the section or any of it where that roof line hits. And if the wall continues up past the roof structure, not at all, or 6 inches or 12 inches or anything, and so it would just be helpful to see that.
Okay, I'll get in touch with the roofer and see if maybe he has any pictures of when he gave his proposal to the client in regards to his scope of work.
That is where we would benefit from architectural drawings, because they would architectural drawings would describe how the roof is going to tie into this new wall, and how the wall is actually built. Often structural engineers overlook corbelling and other sorts of decorative brick features that architects would be interested in, and that we would be interested in seeing replicated.
Sure, and my intent would be to replicate whatever it is there.
Yeah. Okay. Are we ready for a motion?
Yeah, I think we can make a motion to conceptually approve this project with the stipulation that the applicant come back with architectural drawings identifying the scope, both the demolition, the parapet, all that, so that staff can look at the project in its entirety, and also whatever selective demolition that you do, whether it's interior or exterior, that you remain in communication with staff on the condition of the existing wall that
is remaining. Just so that we're clear, so do you want these architectural drawings to include?
Wait, we got a motion.
Yeah, and I may be asking a question that'll clarify.
Okay.
But when you say come back, you mean back to staff?
Back to staff. Yeah, right. Architectural drawings that depict this would be going back to staff, you know, unless you feel like the committee needs to review it again.
I don't.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, then it would just go back to staff.
As long as staff's okay with that. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. In that case, I will second that motion.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Did you need some clarification?
Yeah, I just needed a clarification. You mentioned the roof work detail. So do you want these drawings to include the roof detail, because that's not part of my scope of work and it's not part of what I'm applying for?
No, I think it's just about showing the relationship of the roof to the parapet as well. It's okay. Just so they've got a reference.
I'm not sure that the engineers are involved at all in the roof repair, so that's the best I can do is reach out to the client and see if I can get the roofer and the engineer to have a conversation before.
I think it just needs to be kind of depicted.
Well, it seems to me that if you're rebuilding the wall, the brick wall, then there needs to be a detail provided as to how that roofing and that roof system is going to tie into the new brick wall, right?
Well, I'm providing shoring to keep the roof in place.
Right.
That's one thing.
But then who's going to be attaching the roof to the new brick wall?
Yeah, that would be the roof, correct.
Okay, so we'll need to have that information documented.
And you want that as part of mine?
It doesn't necessarily need to come from you, but okay. As part of this permit, we need to be able to understand and approve how the roof system is going to tie into your new brick wall.
So should I maybe bore the roofer to
staff? Why don't we work this out?
That's fine. Yeah, and then I'll just pass whatever you give me all along to that.
That'd be great.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right, guys. Good to see you.
Thank you.
That would be, yeah. The owner is kind of coordinating all of this work, and it involves multiple trades.
Yeah.
One of the benefits of hiring an architect is having someone to help you with that. We're good for something. Next up on the agenda is 508 16 Bourbon Street. I see we have an applicant, so let's have the staff report.
508 16 Bourbon Street is two blue-rated main buildings with two blue-rated dependencies. There's also an unrated infill structure between 508 and the building behind it. This is a proposal for exterior renovation, including installation of mechanical equipment and modification of millwork, in conjunction with a change of use from adult live performance venue to bar/restaurant standard. Her application materials received February 23rd, 2024 and February 28th, 2024, respectively. Note, 508 Bourbon and 516 Bourbon are located on the same parcel, and there are extensive outstanding violations on the entire property, including both buildings. Despite numerous applications over the last several years, there's been little or no follow-through on completing the permitting process or performing work to correct violations. Multiple violation cases remain open, and the property has been taken to administrative adjudication. If no applications are received within the next 30 days, the property will once again be scheduled for adjudication and may be subject to further fines. The proposed work is in conjunction with the change of use at 508 Bourbon, is largely located at the front elevation and the unrated infill between the main building and the rear carriage house as follows. Mechanical, the roof plan shows four condensers relocated closer to the property line shared with 500 Bourbon. A 10-ton package unit by train is proposed to replace an existing 4-ton package unit. It's shown weighing 1,058 pounds and measuring 53 1/4 by approximately 88 by 41 inches. Sound data was not included. A new 54-inch diameter by 71-inch tall cooling tower for the daiquiri machines is shown close to the property line with 500 Bourbon. No condensers are shown for the walking cooler or the ice machine that are indicated on the interior plans. A new hood vent and intake vent are shown 10 feet from the property line, but the hood vent is very close to the opening at the rear of the main building. Staff notes that satellite imagery seems to show that this opening is a window, not a door, as shown on the roof plan. If possible, staff recommends that the hood and intake vent locations be flipped or moved further away in order to prevent grime from the hood vent from accumulating on the rear of the blue-rated building. It is not clear what the height of this roof is or if railings will be required. If the roof is less than 16 feet above grade, it is likely that railings are not mandated by mechanical code. Front elevation, the applicant proposes to replace the first floor millwork, which is not original. Photographs from 1951 show a large amount of infill and plate glass shop windows, while photos from 1965 onward show the current millwork configuration largely as it exists today. The elevation is divided into two unequal bays with granite pilasters. A single light door with a single wood panel is located in the Toulouse side bay. The applicant proposes to remove a step at this door as well as wood infill above the existing millwork, making the new door 3 feet wide by 8 foot 7 inches tall. It is shown swinging out into the right-of-way. The St. Louis side bay currently has a center six light door flanked by two wide six light skylights with single panels below. The applicant proposes to replace this bank of millwork with two pairs of four light single panel bifold doors. Staff notes that the proposed millwork is flush with the head and jamb, giving it a flat appearance. The millwork profiles are inappropriate for a blue-rated building of this age, and the style and rails are also out of proportion. Conceptually, replacement of the first floor millwork could be considered since it is not original, and the proposed overall elevation is not out of character. Significant revisions are needed to the millwork details. Overall, while revisions and additional information are needed for both aspects of the proposal before final review, staff finds the work conceptually approvable. Commission review is required for rooftop equipment installation, millwork replacement, and the proposed change of use. Staff requests a full site visit of the property, including the infill roof, prior to commission consideration of the proposed work. Additionally, the millwork swinging into the public right-of-way will require review by public works.
All right, thank you. Applicant, please state your name, address, relationship to the property.
Catherine Harmon, LK Harmon Architects.
Do you have a response to the staff report?
Yes, a couple of brief responses. The ice machine and the walk-in cooler are both, I'm told, self-contained condensers. We don't need to have exterior aspects. The infill that all the equipment is on is less than 16 feet. We definitely have no problem flipping the exhaust and the intake so as not to create pollution on the blue-rated building. That is a door into that attic space over the second floor of the main building. I've walked through it, although I see what you mean about that satellite imagery. I don't recall exactly, but it is a door that you can walk through. And you will see that in the site visit that we will be happy to facilitate for y'all.
And as far as violations go, I wasn't aware of that, but of course I'll get on one stop and look at all the red flags and go there with my client.
All right. Committee, any questions for the applicant or the staff?
What's the condition of that of the equipment? Is it in good working condition,
yes,
and can it take the load of all this other equipment?
We would consult a structural engineer with the weight of 1,000 pounds. We just aren't to that phase yet. It's too early to involve engineers at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, 1,000 pounds. The roof itself, the cladding is a metal roof. It's fine. It's lifetime. Structurally, I haven't seen it.
And do you have a photo of the front elevation of actual?
It's the one on the right.
Oh, it's got the shutters on.
Unfortunately, the band.
That's
is
what
in front of it.
I wanted.
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to see what the light pattern was on the second floor.
The shutters are
they're
closed.
Always
the
closed,
shutters
and I believe they're fixed closed, aren't they, Cameron?
I don't want to lie to you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This was the guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm. And then you have the bifold swinging out. Was there a reason to swing out versus in?
Yes, they're wanting to provide area in the interior for customers.
They want to leave the door open too, I'm sure.
And they
mm-hmm.
want to leave it open too. And we felt like since it was set so far back, it's really only like less than a foot sticking out into the public mm-hmm. right away.
It looks like, will they fold in completely? Because it looks like the pilaster has a cap on it that sort of protrudes past. Is that?
Yeah, we offset it to be exactly as wide as where the capital of the pilaster is.
Mm-hmm.
It would go to a 90-degree, but the swinging door would go to 90 degrees.
And then is there any sort of threshold? Like, what's the sidewalk versus what is on the interior side? Because I don't see any sort of threshold between
the
threshold at the bifold doors, because it just looks like it's flush from
pretty
interior.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, there may be like a threshold there, like less than half an inch type of threshold, but.
But you're not providing one. It's like it's just going to be the door and the existing.
Right. It kind of gently ramps up.
Yeah, the interior plan shows it ramping.
Yeah, it gently ramps up, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't be a step.
Okay. Do we have any? Yes.
I'm told that the violations are actively being addressed right now.
We're preparing a scope of work to address all the violations right now.
Wonderful news.
Yes.
The whole property's getting.
That's good. Do we have any public comment on this proposal? I see no public comment. Committee, any other questions?
Same thing. Thickness of the door. These are tall. Oh, these are 1 3/4.
I'm going to have quite a few red lines on the millwork for us to handle the staff level.
Oh, yeah, that's
too.
Right. You guys did say you have
to
go through a lot. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, applicant, any final word?
Drawings speak for themselves. If y'all have any questions, it's
here. Are we ready for a motion?
Yeah, I make a motion to conceptually approve the rooftop equipment and the millwork with many of the details needing to just kind of be worked out with the staff. You want to go with that?
There's a change of use on the table.
It all needs to go to the commission, not just the change of use.
Changing. But
so
we don't. Do we need to potentially
approve? Forward a recommendation.
Okay.
In conjunction with the change of use to the full commission.
Okay. Well, then I'll add to that to provide a recommendation for the change of use to be submitted to the commission.
Is that a positive recommendation?
That's a positive recommendation. From what it was before,
much
better situation for sure.
Okay, and I'll just amend if you're agreeable that the staff has requested a full site visit and the applicant seems amenable and you're okay with that amendment?
Yes, absolutely.
And with that, I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you. Next up on the agenda under appeals and violations is 819 Bourbon Street. I see an applicant. Let's have the staff report.
819 Bourbon Street is a very fine blue-rated main building and service hall. This is an appeal to retain HVAC equipment and proposal to conceal and or modify refrigerant lines per application of materials received March 14th, 2023 and February 16th, 2024, respectively. On April 11th, 2023, an appeal to retain the existing mechanical equipment and line sets as they currently exist was denied by the committee. The applicant chose not to appeal this denial and has worked with a preservation consultant to produce alternative schemes to modify and or conceal the lines. As a reminder for the committee, the property recently underwent an extensive renovation, which included removal of window units and first-time installation of central HVAC in at least the rear service hall. On December 22nd, 2020, the committee reviewed and conceptually approved the four proposed condensers and three mini splits in two areas adjacent to the rear of the service cell and between the driveway and the St. Ann side building towards the rear. Platform and screening details were needed prior to final review and permit. In 2021, two VCC sub-permits were created for HVAC applications submitted by subcontractors. One was red flagged and closed as the contractor was not licensed with the City of New Orleans, and the second was not approved or issued by the Mechanical Division or VCC. On September 28, 2022, staff inspected the overall property and noted extensive line sets on the exterior, particularly at the service cell. Some months later, VCC staff was contacted to close out a permit for which third-party inspections had been submitted, despite the fact that no permits were ever issued. Staff requested full documentation of the units and retroactive review and permit issuance, but informed the applicant that the lines could not be permitted for retention and that an alternative should be proposed, such as running the lines on the interior or putting them below ground. Staff notes that the units themselves are typical and approvable for retention, although the committee may choose to require their relocation. The applicant has worked with a consulting firm on the following proposals, which staff finds to be comprehensive and rigorous in their analysis. Option one, bury the lines underneath the building and have each condenser line come up through the floor along the interior side of the wall. Pro, removes all visibility from the courtyard. Con, requires tunneling through a hole in the solid masonry belt foundation, which would negatively impact the building's structural integrity and is potentially impossible. Con, creates penetrations under the floor, which invites insects and moisture into the building. And con, the buried condenser lines are unserviceable, which goes against VCC guidelines. Staff notes that this is the most typical approach in the Boucre. Subterranean penetrations are normally done only a few inches below grade, which is not low enough to interfere with the portable foundation and allows the lines to be serviced by removing courtyard pavers. Option two, bury the lines underneath the slate courtyard and have each condenser line come up along the exterior side of the wall. Staff finds this option to be too visibly intrusive because this would have the condenser lines creating vertical stripes. Option three is to create a single large penetration through the top of the dependency wall at the back and run all of the condenser lines in a side soffit on the interior side of the wall. Pro, removes visibility from the exterior courtyard. Con, requires punching a large, approximately 8-inch round hole through the dependency solid masonry wall, which would negatively impact the building's structural integrity. Con, requires punching holes through each interior demising wall as the condenser lines extend towards the front facade. This would negatively impact the building's structural integrity. And con creates an unattractive soffit on the interior of the building, especially where there is a ceiling or height or floor level change. Staff notes that an approximately 8-inch penetration is not unheard of when installing new mechanical equipment or venting for the first time, and the structural integrity of the wall is unlikely to be compromised if a small lintel were to be installed, as is typical in these conditions. The interior is outside of VCC jurisdiction, and VCC design guidelines call for lines, conduit, etc. to run on the interior of the building instead of the outside whenever possible. Option four, create a better solution for the exterior mounted lines underneath the balcony and build a screen to obscure all mechanical equipment along the back wall. Pro, reduces visibility of all equipment in the courtyard, not just the condenser lines. Pro, requires zero additional penetrations through masonry walls or foundations, thus having the least impact on the building's structural integrity. Pro, there are two versions for new architectural solutions, both of which read as new construction, which is a tenet of the Secretary of the Interior Standards for Rehabilitation. D, pro, both solutions are easily reversible, which is a tenet of the Secretary of the Interior Standards. Pro, both solutions allow the equipment to be located up high in a serviceable location, which is a VCC guideline, a tenet of the Secretary of Interior Standards. Pro, both solutions encase the condenser lines in a soffit or pipe that can be painted and therefore blend better into the rest of the balcony.
and con, the condenser line still exists on the exterior of the building within the courtyard, but they are still a necessity. The mechanical equipment screening may be conceptually provable, but more complete drawings are needed, and it should be independent of the building and operable so the equipment can be serviced as required by mechanical code. While staff appreciates the proposals for the line set submitted with option 4 and considers both to be an improvement over existing conditions, both are still very visually intrusive. Exterior use of PVC is not approvable, but if a metal option were proposed, the method of its attachment and overall size are still concerns. Consolidation of the lines where the balcony structure meets the wall and enclosure in an angled soffit is also visually intrusive, and its method of attachment is unclear. Staff finds options 1 and 3 to be the most appropriate and conceptually approvable, with the applicant to submit more detailed drawings, including screening for the mechanical equipment, for final review and permit.
Thank you. Applicant, could you please state your name, address, and relationship to the property?
Yes, Michelle Dulon. I'm with Southwick World Preservation Works, 4516 Magazine Street. I'm new to this project. We were not involved with the permitting or how this project got to this point. I just want to make that very clear. We have been called in to be the masonry conservators on the interior to finish up the tax credit application and to get them through the VCC flags. So that's our task. Again, I don't know. Honestly, I wasn't aware of all the permitting history with this building. That was quite a list.
The lack of permitting history.
The architectural work was permitted. I do want to clarify.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I guess being new to this project has its pros and cons. When we first arrived on this site, we were able to look at it with some fresh eyes. And I'm a masonry conservator myself. My partner originally proposed, he's like, oh yeah, let's just take these lines through these masonry walls, pop them through all the interior walls, no problem. To me, all those holes in masonry walls, that's not what I like to see. That's not what I would want to see in my building. I understand the introduction of a lintel, but lintels in themselves can be problematic. Our first stab at this was, is there a way we can make this more attractive without punching a bunch of holes in solid masonry? And my first impression of this space was I was bothered less by the condenser lines strapped underneath the balcony, which, yes, is awful. And honestly, I thought the condensers and the visibility of the equipment at the back was more onerous. And so that's kind of why we threw in there the screen, like something just to hide all that.
So to clarify on that too, the reason why these were not initially permitted was because everything was conceptually approved with the provisos that we were going to get details for platforms for the equipment and screening.
Gotcha.
So we definitely want to see those screened as part of this abatement. It's just the lines were kind of the bigger issue for us when we went, okay, this is the more surprising thing when visiting the site for the first time.
Okay. And to add another little sprinkle of interest to this project, the architect is no longer involved, and I don't know what happened there. But we'll just leave it at that.
All right.
Yep.
Mystery and intrigue at the VCC. Nothing new today. Committee, do we have any questions for the applicant or the staff?
No, I mean, it's looking at this, you know, like the options are what they are. I mean, option 3 feels like it, to me, the most amenable, but that's in my opinion of having just that one place where all of the lines are coming into the building. I do agree trying to penetrate through the ground is kind of becomes a problem.
Yeah.
A lot more, I feel like if it's through the wall, you can control it a little bit better.
I agree.
The ground, not so much. So that's kind of, sort of where I am with it. I don't know, Stephen, if you've got an opinion on our, condensation lines are the worst.
They are the worst. I look at this too, it's like, these lines will be there for 15 years before the equipment poops out. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to seeing what we're using in 15 years that doesn't require condensate lines.
Yeah. Is it actually okay to have those condensate lines in contained within something like that? Have you consulted a mechanical engineer or HVAC guy about that?
So
I've been told that you can't.
Oh, really? I mean, they're either going underground or in a soffit or...
No. Like, how it's contained in the
that round thing?
Oh, in that soffit?
The round thing, yeah.
To me, how is that different than containing them in a soffit or underground?
No. I don't mean visually. I mean, is it okay for the condensate line? Like, will it still function?
Yeah, functionally, they're put underground all the time. How is that any different?
I don't know. I'm asking.
Yeah, I think it's possible.
Right? I mean, I've seen them run through sheet metal boxes, and
they're pretty flexible. And again, the equipment will break in 10 to 15 years, and we'll be here all talking, having the same conversation. But yeah, we did. This was, I mean, I'll be honest. We looked at this project with fresh eyes. We thought about every option. That was kind of, you know, our pros and cons list, thinking about what's best for the building long term, what meets the Secretary of Interior standards, what follows VCC guidelines, and it's kind of a narrow needle that we're trying to thread with all that. But I welcome all your input and experience.
Well, I'll just say that as I was listening to the staff report, I had kind of identified options 1 and 3 as the ones that I would prefer or go for. And so I'm in agreement with the staff report on that. Do you have a sense for if ownership is amenable to all these options?
Between 1 and 3, the ownership is probably more on board with option 3. But I don't want to put too many promises in place with the owner. But yeah.
Well, I mean, is there a, because there's a note in here about putting condensate lines underground and potentially too close to the footings. And there's something in here that says that they don't have to be buried too deep, or it shouldn't interfere with the footings. I mean, is that something if you're looking potentially at 1 and 3 that maybe you just, you know, if you think it's going to be an issue and you're trying to make a decision between 1 and 3, so should you do a little bit of excavating to maybe see where that would be? Because if it's really close, then you might have to eliminate 1 as potential.
Yeah, well, we can certainly look into that. In projects in the past, in my experience, you know, you can dig and you find something that's very workable and, you know, a nice little chain wall that's just kind of going very vertical. And sometimes you dig and you find something much harder to work with that you have to, like, punch through. And saying that, you know, if you're going against the grain on the interior, punching through all those solid masonry bell footings on the interior as well. So to me, that's harder than doing it above ground, where you can at least see what you're punching through and control it a little bit better. Again, you're left with a kind of an obnoxious soffit that might just be how it is.
I think the staff would also, if you did do that exploratory demolition and you found the portable was right there, we also would not want to see you go through the portable. It's just normally that is buried about at least 18 inches and sometimes even more if the courtyard's been built up a lot.
Mm-hmm. Then moving forward for us, if we all kind of like option 3 and then that's also doable, we don't have an architect involved in this anymore. What do we do? Do we need to get a new architect to draw something? Can I draw something if it's...
I think that, you know, for something like this, if it's really about the condensate lines and mechanical, it might be worth getting a mechanical engineer involved to even give you something diagrammatical to say whether or not these routings make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And just see how it sort of reflects itself the way you need on the interior.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Stephen? I think that...
I presumed that you had all these options kind of approved by a mechanical guy.
I talked to a mechanical subcontractor, but not a mechanical engineer.
Okay.
Sometimes better.
Right, you're right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, architects are sometimes helpful, but I don't think it'd be required here as long as you felt like you had a good handle on what the proposal was and you could offer the staff enough drawings to illustrate what was going to happen with the routing, because there's lines all over the building, and it'd be helpful to know which ones are moving where. And I'm hopeful that options 1 and 3 are options that allow us to remove the vast majority of the lines, if not all of them, from the surface of the building. Is that accurate?
Yes. The vertical ones, I think, are the tougher ones, because those are actually connecting to the units. Do we have a picture? That one is probably the best. Something like that, I don't know that that could be moved. But the ones that are being, that are strapped underneath the joist, that is what we could take to the interior side.
It seems like we have a bunch of different conditions. Some of them might be served well by option 1. Some of them might be served well by option 3. Is that possible?
Maybe. I did not ask my mechanical sub about that. So I can ask.
Yeah, I think as you kind of develop, based on our conversation today, what the plan is, having some elevations of the building that show where lines are now and how they can be rerouted could be helpful for staff as they review.
Okay.
Do we have any public comment on this proposal? I see none. Any other questions?
You had mentioned having the screen not connected to the building, like not touching the building.
Yeah, basically, we would like to see, rather than, you know, the way you had that done with it attaching to a nailer that went directly to the brick, we'd just like to see it held off. Possibly, you know, a lot of times the screen will only be attached to the platform and kind of go just directly around the units, kind of the smallest footprint you can get away with.
Do we feel like if we move forward with this is something that could just be handled at the staff level, or do you think that it has to come back to the...
Staff report seems to imply that they're okay with conceptual approval. I'm okay with it.
Okay, and then what about the screening? Is that something that can be done on a staff level, or does that have to come back?
It's very routine for them, I think.
Okay.
Applicant, any final words?
No.
All right.
Thank you.
Are we ready for a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to conceptually approve option either 1 or 3 to be worked through with staff, and also to conceptually approve and work with staff on screening of the HVAC in the view.
All right, I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Duan. Next up, under appeals and violations, is 620 Decatur Street. Do we have an applicant? We have an applicant. Let's have the staff report.
All right, 620 Decatur is a green-rated building. Was they proposed to retain work completed in deviation of approved permit, including improper stucco and plastic mesh. Application materials received December 5th, 2022 and February 19th, 2024, respectively. At the architecture committee's request, the applicant was able to have samples of the existing stucco analyzed in the lab. The initial portion of the submittal addresses obtaining the samples. Sample 1 was taken from a corner of the building and clearly shows original masonry construction behind the stucco. Samples 2 and 3 were taken from other areas of the building and show the underlying construction in these areas as having a wood substrate covered in felt paper and metal lath. As samples 2 and 3 come from newer construction areas of the building, staff is less concerned regarding the stucco composition in these locations. All samples were then sent to a lab for analysis. The lab report only notes testing 2 samples, so staff questions why that would be, and if the lab report samples 1 and 2 are consistent with the collection report samples 1 and 2. provided that sample one is consistent in both reports, this would contain the most applicable information for purposes of ECC. The lab found that sample one consisted of sand uniformly distributed in a Portland cement paste with no hydrated lime or other supplementary cementitious materials. The lab report states that the cement clusters were very large, suggesting the stucco might be very old. The report notes that such large cement particle grain size typically occurred in cement manufactured prior to 1950. The report estimated the cement-to-sand ratio of sample 1 at 1 to 3. Finally, the report notes that the bottom layer of stucco in sample 1 was directly bonded to red brick. The finding of the lab report suggests that this building is in fact stuccoed in a heavy Portland cement mix rather than the more historic BCC lime-based mix. The earliest photograph of this building dates to 1939 and shows the building stuccoed. Given the original construction date of the building of 1891, with major additions made in 1902, and the history of Portland cement gaining popularity near the end of the 19th century, it's possible the stucco in this building has always been Portland cement based. Based on the findings of the lab report, staff finds the proposed retention of the modern stucco base and Synergy Centerflex potentially approvable, at least as a test case. Staff recommends approval of the proposal with any future masonry repairs to be made utilizing compatible materials based on the lab report.
All right, thank you. Applicant, could you please state your name, address, and relationship on the property?
Gordon Arroyo. I'm a representative on behalf of Apex Construction, the contractor performing the work on the Jack Spur building.
Do you have a response to the staff report?
Just want to see how we all come up with a solution moving forward with the project.
All right. Yeah, it seems like the lab report is beneficial to the retention of the material. So, committee.
Have any questions?
Okay, yeah, we've gone back and just for your information, we've gone back and forth on this project a bit because they did not use what is typically found in the VCC and what we would normally recommend or ask to be used, but instead use this Centerflex material with plastic fiberglass backing. And for the last couple times we reviewed this, we've been trying to determine whether or not this would be detrimental to the building or damaging to the building and the underlying material that's historic.
And this is great for us to have in the future.
Yeah.
So if this ever happens again, we have this. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay. Do we have any public comment on this proposal? Yes.
I have a public question. Marlene Shealy, president of the New Jags Condominium Association. That being said, we do have part of the building completed with this Portland cement mix and not the other part, so we will need direction on how to further, how we're going to process further, knowing that we're going over a 20th century
problem. Okay. And staff, sounds like based on the staff report, we're presuming that it's Portland cement all the way around and that the same method could be used across the whole building. Yeah.
So we can continue to use the same product?
When you have the permit.
Yeah.
Any other public comments?
But just to be clear, so it means that if there are any repairs needed to be done for Jack's in the future, even though you've got an approved method, you still have to get a permit.
Yes. Yes. But now we have this on file.
Yeah.
And your condo association has this on file. So you always have this now. We won't ever have this
process
issue again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we'll just say that this is...
Yeah, so they stop making it.
That this solution is very specific to this building and is kind of... It is because we've done this lab testing and we now understand the underlying historic material that it's not necessarily incompatible with the materials and methods being used. And so no one should take this approval to mean that it applies to all buildings
all
in the BCC.
And it should also be noted that I don't know that all of the Jack's buildings are the same. This is this building.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that every single building in the complex is
we are just one building,
yes.
620. We are talking about the mill house.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We did not test it.
Yes. So that's also...
Okay. Yep.
For the property report.
Any final word from the applicant? No? Are we ready for a motion?
Yeah, I make a motion to approve, I guess it's the Synergy Senflex stucco for the Jack's Brewery. It's Jack's Brewery, right? Mm. Yeah.
620 Decatur.
620 Decatur.
All right, I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you, and thank you for doing all of this work.
Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for your patience.
Okay, next up, still under appeals and violations, is 522 Bourbon Street. Do we have, looks like we have an applicant, so let's have the staff report.
522 Bourbon Street is a blue-rated building. This is a proposal to perform structural repairs at the tower, including installation of helical ties and tie rods. Per application materials received January 17, 2024 and February 25, 2024. The committee reviewed this proposal at the February 6th hearing and deferred the proposal until the engineer could attend to explain the proposed changes to the structural repair plan. The architect has also submitted an elevation showing the visibility of the structural ties on the Bourbon side of the tower. Staff's report from February 6th is unchanged. The committee approved structural masonry work at the tower on August 9th, 2022, which was largely limited to the interior installation of wall straps and exterior brick repointing to address cracks. Staff issued permits shortly thereafter, but the work was not undertaken. The applicant has revised their application and is now proposing more extensive intervention. Instead of flat bar straps on the inside corners of the tower walls, the applicant is now proposing what looks to be four tie rods on the third and fourth floors of each elevation. It appears to be a total of 24 tie rods over two floors with 6-inch round plates at each 1-inch rod. The rods are located above and below each floor level and span through the room instead of through the floor joists. Additionally, two different methods of using helical ties are proposed. The first uses 8mm helical ties installed in the mortar joint at every third course using compatible mortar. The second method drills helifix ties into the wall at approximately 30-degree angles, crisscrossing at 24 inches on center to be injected with helifix Helibon grout. Staff is concerned that the proposed reinforcement has escalated significantly since permits were initially issued a year and a half ago, and requests that the applicant explain further while the more extensive repairs are needed. While helical ties installed in the mortar joint can be a sensitive method of intervention, staff shares the committee's concerns regarding drilled ties, that their installation causes substantial damage to historic building materials, not allow the building materials to experience thermal expansion in the same way, can displace cracking to other areas of the building in sometimes unpredictable ways, and does not allow for masonry to be salvaged and reconstructed if failure occurs in the future. Additionally, the use of helifix Helibon grout is not appropriate considering its high PSI. Staff seeks the guidance of the committee regarding the proposed changes to the tower repair plan.
Thank you. Applicant, please state your name, address, and relationship to the property.
Jennifer Taylor, I'm the architect, and my address is 1115.
Thank you.
Jamie Saxon with Moffitt McCoskey, 336 North Norman C. Francis.
Do y'all have... Thank you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a response to the staff report?
Yeah, so I originally did these back in like 2019 after the first violation. The masonry on the interior is in extremely poor condition, as the exterior is also access to this tower is also very difficult. And I know they brought someone else in to kind of do something a little less with the ties on the inside, but literally those ties are going to hold on to the six bricks that they're going to be attached to, and that's about all, unfortunately. This thing, you know, you've got that corner that's moving and falling away. It was built on a slate shelf that then steps out. There's no real way to, without some physically getting in the brick, and that's the proposal. For the diagonal ties are strictly just trying to isolate to that corner only, where it's most moved out, where that shelf was moved out. The rest are going to be in the joints horizontally. And the idea, the first thing that we want is to get it tuck pointed on the inside all the way, and then work on the outside. You know, hopefully they can solidify this wall before any work. They're probably going to have to work out through platforms from the floor through the windows, because you don't have enough room in the alleyway to even get any type of lift up in there. So that, you know, it's very restricted, very difficult to work with. And I know the tie rods, but again, you know, I felt that the movement of the masonry, we needed something a little more physical that, you know, from the outside to hold it together. And that's why my original with the tie rods.
All right. Anything else?
No. I think he explained it very well. But I do agree with him that we would be starting from the tuck pointing on the inside, and that he would be involved in the process all the way to where, like, as we find other things and we're in there, if there are less invasive ways that we could handle something. Like, if this isn't just automatically, we're going to be drilling diagonally everywhere. It's just where needed.
And all mortar will be compatible. You know, we're not using any high strength mortars here at all. Whatever, that was never any intent. So.
Okay, that's good to hear.
So as far as the destructiveness of it, with him being involved in the project throughout it, we would not be doing that unless it was absolutely necessary.
Right.
If there's a less invasive way to fix different parts of the building, we'll go less invasive. Until he says it needs to be something more invasive.
So we're going to maybe get started and then start handling things stepwise.
Yep.
Okay. Correct. And looping in all the staff so everybody can know everything all the time. We have a great section here that shows, or I guess it is an elevation that shows the plates and the rods going through. Our jurisdiction doesn't extend to the inside of buildings. I like it when the inside of the buildings are useful.
Yep.
Is there any intervention that's going to make the inside of this tower useful?
I mean, it's a very small space. It's unique. I don't know what it's...
It's 10 foot by 10 foot.
Yeah.
So
it's got a stair up in it, so it's not like usable.
It's it's just a bell
just a little lookout tower.
It's really cool from up there.
I wonder if they look out.
I would put a desk up there, and I would work there every day.
But access, I mean, even getting, you know, I almost fell out on the roof one day, so.
So you don't want to walk there.
I got to the top and forgot that I was, like, scared of heights, and, like, there's nothing up there, and I was like, oh, my God, I was by myself.
Yeah, so you get out through that window under the lower roof, and it's pretty slick, so there's nothing safe about it.
So there's no way to do anything from
there. No.
It's not even, I mean, yeah, it's neat, but it's dangerous.
And you can see the cracks there, and they've put, you know, cork in the joints over the years. It's all going to come out. It's got the crack there. It's going in the corner. That corner's just moving. It's got granite lintels up there that are in good shape, but they just don't bond. There's no tie from those granite into the mortar either. It's not helping out. But again, that's what I'm trying to... Masonry's good in compression, so we're trying to get the rods in there and just get a little, gentleness.
Yeah.
And so the number and the location of these tie rods going through, that's kind of, you're pretty sure that's what it's going to have to be?
Yeah, it's just, you know, just trying to, because you don't want to put in there just one or two of the high, you need to spread the look, you know, spread it out and soften the look.
Sandwich it all the way.
Okay.
I have a question. Jamie, you said that you thought you would only be using the diagonal ties kind of as needed, but you did mention a specific place where you assume that you will need to use them. Can that be indicated on the elevation as well?
Mm-hmm.
Just so that we have a baseline, and that way if it does need to expand, you do need to use it in other places.
Yes, that corner.
Right
there.
Okay. And actually,
looks like slide 203 shows the slate shelf that I think Jamie's talking about.
Yeah, actually, I do call it out on the plan. One on S1.2, I do call out that
and
specifically to see these two.
Okay, great.
This one, it's called out over there, and it's that corner that is sticking out.
Like top left corner of that tower.
Okay.
And that is what we're looking at on slide 203, I think.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. Committee?
I don't have any other questions necessarily about the process of this. It seems like it's the best route. I guess the only thing I would comment on is that you know, there would have to be some as-built, whether it be while you're going through the process or at the end, to accurately show
where
this work actually happened, because it sounds like it's going to be sort of a moving target.
And I'm happy to provide as-builts of where we put ties in and where the diagonal ties are, just for posterity's sake and whatnot.
Okay. Do we have any public comment on this proposal? No public comment. Committee, any other questions? Applicant, any final word? Are we ready for a motion?
Yeah, I make a motion to, I guess, conceptually approve this scope of work with details in the progress to be communicated with staff, and as builds be provided, of course, at the end of the job, but if there are any major changes throughout the course of this work, that staff is notified of it so that they can either come out or, you know.
Right. That sounds good. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give you some direction.
Okay.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jamie.
Next up, under appeals and violations, is 7-Eleven Dauphine. Do we have an applicant? 7-Eleven Dauphine. This is Wells Phillip. Philip Wells. All right. Maybe we'll come back to that one later. Next up is 101517 Dauphine. Do we have an applicant? Yes, we do.
101517 Dauphine is a brown-rated main building. This is an appeal to retain silicone parapet cap on the main building roof for application of materials received February 8th, 2024. On April 19th, 2023, staff issued a permit to install a new ready slate roof on the main building at 1015 Dauphine. The typical boilerplate was included on the permit, noting that metal cap flashing was not approved for installation. Upon inspection, staff noted that a peel and stick membrane had been installed in the valley gutter, which is approvable for retention. The membrane extends up the face of the parapet, is covered with a SureWeld reinforced TPO, and is held in place with a termination bar installed horizontally on the top surface of the parapet. It is then capped with Geico silicone. Staff is concerned that the installation of the termination bar on the top surface of the parapet will not prove to be effective as a cap, even with the installation of the silicone. It was later determined that the building's outer walls, which had initially been thought to be masonry due to the presence of brick on the interior, is actually a wood frame wall with brick veneer on both the interior and exterior faces. As is typical in newer buildings with contemporary wall assemblies, particularly wood frame, staff finds the use of a metal cap to be the most appropriate solution. Staff does not find retention of the current parapet cap to be sufficient to prevent water intrusion and recommends denial of the appeal to retain the current conditions. A proposal to replace the termination bar in Geico silicone with a metal parapet cap would be viewed favorably and could be approved at staff level.
All right, thank you. Applicant, could you please state your name, address, relationship with property?
Randy Winger, Jubilee Construction.
Do you have a response to the staff report?
Well, existing parapet wall was existing with the torch down. So what they did is they primed it and torched it down to the top of the cap. There was actually no cap on there, metal coping whatsoever. Fortunately, it's insurance proceeds. So basically, they pay for what's existing. So we can't insure an open flame on a roof. Anybody says they can.
We don't allow doors down anyway.
Right. We're telling stories. So basically, we just want the termination bar with the TPO over the top of the cap. The only reason we put the gray coat silver on is just to seal the fasteners and the edges of the actual TPO. We're here to accommodate. Tell me what you want. I'll make sure it happens. How's that? Fair enough.
Randy, what started this? Were they getting water intrusion inside?
Sure. I keep hearing that.
Okay.
There's an objective for a homeowner there on one particular unit that wants new floors. At this point in time, even the inspector that I met, Mr. Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, man, I don't see it. He's never showed any evidence of water coming through the brick or anything coming down the trim. Water from the paper that's on the floor that is existing. There's no water stains. There's no. He has an objective. We're dealing with that. Okay.
Understood.
But at this point in time, we actually are going to do a physical water test just to end this conversation. But I mean, all my roofs leaking.
Just so you guys know, that's why this came to our attention. The homeowner called us. We would have never gone up. Like, we didn't know about any of this. We just thought the roof was replaced. It was done. Yeah. So that's sort of what started this.
Okay. And the staff report, I don't think, offers a solution that is approvable, does it?
It says something about a metal cap.
Metal cap's okay.
Yeah, since it's a wood frame wall.
So it's so in that sketch, it shows it as like a three white brick wall. So you're saying that that's not what it is?
That's not what it is. No, it's a brick veneer on the interior and brick veneer on the exterior.
And stud wall.
Mm-hmm, with a wood frame wall in between. And honestly, I would be fine with just doing a metal cap over what's there. I just, with seeing the silicone, the mesh, the termination bar, all of it, we've seen enough of those materials start to separate over time as they age. So having that be the final cap is something that may be a little bit apprehensive, especially with it being a wood frame wall, especially if you're not having issues with it now, maybe down the line, possibly. Just the typical detail, had we known in advance that this was a wood frame wall, we would have allowed the metal cap flashing.
Mm-hmm. Understood.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the photos, it doesn't look like it's, you can see the mesh, so the wear on it is pretty much showing. And yeah, even though there's not an issue now, again, you've got a cavity.
The mesh exposure, it's that exposed, basically, they just didn't get on a great coat of silicone on it. Obviously.
Yeah. But
is the back building, we haven't done anything with, we haven't done a great coat of mesh. Mesh or a gray coat on the back building. There's two buildings involved. Mm-hmm. So that one's still TPO, the turn bar, untouched. Never had any problem with that building. That makes any sense.
The back building is included in the scope of work to correct as well,
yes,
right?
Okay. Both buildings in
okay.
And this material, it's self-sealing, right?
Say again.
Is it self-sealing? If you would have.
The gray coat?
Yeah, if you would have put
a
nail through it.
Believe me. Believe me, $500 for a 5-gallon can, yeah, it sticks to everything.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I kind of agree with staff that that a metal cap would definitely benefit this application. And, I mean, even if it went over what you already have there, especially if it's self-sealing, I think it would do a better job of protecting the parapet in the long run.
Okay, so any recommendations on fastening it?
I guess you talk to a roofer about it? I mean, how would...
Any profile on what the details
are?
How much over the edge I need to go in front and back?
Mm-hmm.
Back's a no-brainer. We can go as far as we want.
Mm-hmm.
How much exposure do you want on the front?
Usually...
Front half of the kick.
Usually, you mean like the profile
yes.
that you can see from the street?
Do you want me to draw you a profile now, and we can go ahead and end this?
You could draw it for the staff after we make our motions.
Okay.
Yeah, typically it on the brick veneer wall still you'll at least have a little corbel, and I see on the front you've got the denticulated cornice, so we would probably want to see it come down one brick,
the width of the brick.
And then have a little drip edge on it.
Okay.
And then either have it be pre-finished to kind of disappear against the brick or be painted to disappear against the brick.
Basically, we would use a colored
pre-finished.
Gosh, right on the tip of my tongue. Anyhow, so basically white? Homeowner picks the color?
No, we would want to see it as close to that brick color as possible, so it just disappears.
Brick color. Okay.
Yeah, so that it's as little noticeable.
Between a brown or a red, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can discuss that out.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have any public comment on this proposal? Seeing none. Any final questions? Any final word from the applicant? I think you could work with the staff.
And,
I thank you for coming in. I really appreciate it. Are we ready for a motion?
Yeah, I want to make a motion to uphold staff's recommendation to deny the silicone. However, or maybe I should restate it, because what I think is that if staff is amenable to it, to keep the silicone but then add the cap on top of it. So the way you got it worded, again, is to deny the silicone. So I guess I would make a motion then to allow the silicone to remain with the installation of a metal
cap. I'd like the silicone one more time to stick that cap on there.
Sorry, say that again?
I'd like the silicone one more time just to stick that cap on top of it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Besides fasteners.
Okay.
You could say it one more time. I'm sorry.
Just to be clear, I think the staff report says they recommend denial of the appeal to retain current conditions.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we're denying retention of current conditions, and we're offering that an approvable condition is a metal cap over existing conditions.
Okay.
It'll be a galvan cap.
Okay, hold on one second.
Yes. So then I'll make a motion to uphold staff's recommendation. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then allow a metal cap to be installed on top of the existing silicone. Does that work?
Great. Yes. Yeah. I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Thank you.
You can work it out with staff.
Just kidding.
Uh-huh. We can discuss more too at staff level before we revise the permit.
Yeah, let us get through this. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Next up on the agenda is 1301 Charters.
I'm going to use the restroom.
Do we have an applicant for 1301 Charters? Okay, we do. Let's have the staff report.
Yes.
All right, 1301 Charters is a green-rated building. Does they propose to retain mini-split condensing unit mounted on masonry wall or on side elevation of the building? Application materials received February 27th, 2024. Staff cited the installation of a new mechanical unit on the Royal Street elevation of the main building on this property. This unit was installed by a previous condo owner shortly before selling it to the applicant and current owner, who is now trying to correct the violation. The location of this equipment actually crosses the property line onto the 609 Barrett Street property next door. Staff and the applicant have been in touch with that property owner regarding the proposal, and it has been noted that written documentation will be needed from that owner if this is to be retained in this location. This may include an easement as well as approval from other city departments. There is one existing unit on this wall which was reviewed and approved by the committee in 2018 with similar requirements of approval from the neighboring property owner. When staff spoke with the neighboring owner, he noted that he would approve such a proposal if the new unit is sized the same or smaller than the existing unit, the lines are properly run and secured, and there is clearance of at least 2 feet between the unit and the existing fire escape. The alleyway where this unit is located is quite narrow, so the unit is really only visible when looking directly down the alley. The existing fire escape also partially obscures the visibility. The associated line sets for this unit are currently haphazardly run up the exterior wall and jog away from the wall quite a bit. The proposed retention includes securing the line sets and making them more orderly. Based off the previous approval of the other unit in this alley and the guidelines which recommend minimizing the visibility and quantity of mounted equipment on the parcel, staff finds the proposed retention potentially approvable. Provided that the owner of 607-609 Barracks provides the proper approval and documentation for the installation, which may include a required easement, and that work is done to clean up the currently haphazard line sets, staff recommends approval of the proposal with any final details to be worked out at the staff level.
All right, thank you. Applicant, state your name, address, and relationship to the property.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm here sitting for Mr. Stephen Cox because that's just a vacation home for him, so he asked me to come sit in here. And we'll be fixing the air conditioning work for him.
Okay, and your name?
April Maroney, sorry.
Thank you. Do you have any response to the staff report?
No, just whatever you guys want to do. So basically it's 1 foot off the wall, which still leaves 2 feet between the space between the building. I had to do all these measurements right there. It's 1 foot below the fire escape landing, so it's not really impeding like if somebody had to use the fire escape, it's not like impeding any type of traffic or fire, anything, because it's under the landing of the, like a whole foot under the landing. It's really not impeding anything. It's basically, I think, just like Nick said, just what we proposed was to remove the refrigeration line, and you know, we're gonna have to take the Freon out to be able to insulate the walls and put the line set back to the wall properly. I don't know if you guys okay the duct kit, the line set duct kit, the plastic that goes over and you can screw to the wall because you can paint it the same color so it matches, or y'all just, are we just securing the line sets to the brick itself? Okay, no problem. The disconnect is an interior disconnect, so we're going to put the proper disconnect on it, a junction box with the electrical wiring inside the walls that's just there. It's going to have a proper junction. Rebrick the section per VCC regulations, file, and the main thing is we know what we do need to do to get it right. The main thing is just getting the approval from the neighbor, which he said he wouldn't really have a problem with.
And that has to be a formal easement. We have to have that recorded. That has to be a legal document. That can't just be a letter. It's got to be...
from the neighbor.
It has to be notarized. It has to be recorded. Yeah.
Saying that the owner gives us permission.
It's a formal easement, yeah.
Yes,
to do that, yeah.
I'm sorry, I've just never done it.
No,
the first time
I've
ever heard of
listen,
a formal easement, yeah.
You're probably going to have to get an attorney involved to do it. But that's not their prop. Whatever your motion is needs to be contingent on that.
Yep.
Because that is not their alley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't do that.
No, I know.
Oh, okay. Right. He's just asking me to help him out.
I know. It's just not their property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just needs to be.
No, for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. But does that mean that, I mean, does it make sense to make these changes until, you know, the changes until...
No, I think she's saying
contingent.
I need to get that before I
100%.
Oh, okay.
Whatever you're going to approve is contingent on
okay.
the easement.
So,
that
yeah,
easement.
So then no permit would be given.
We can't do anything until we
okay.
have.
But we need your approval.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So they know to proceed.
Gotcha.
So you
mm-hmm.
can include it as a proviso.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do we have any public comment on this
Sorry.
Proposal? No public comment. Any final discussion from the committee? Any final word from the applicant?
The easement, I understand, I got to get, and it has to be signed and all this, and you said possibly a lawyer. You mean if the neighbor doesn't agree to it, that's when it would come into illegality? Or are you saying legality anyway?
Yes.
No shit.
That's not their property. They had no right to do that to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, for sure.
Yeah. Which is why we're in this mess, because someone did it and then sold their unit.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You see what's happening here?
Yeah.
So now the new owner is cleaning up the mess.
He's got to clip his legs.
It's just one owner.
Well, that unit for that.
Yeah.
Not that HVAC unit.
And there was something on here, too.
Well,
you guys have the misinformation. It says Mr. Stephen Cox, but Miss Carolyn Looper? Miss Carolyn Looper owns another property. This isn't the property.
It's going to show every owner
on that
property.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the owner just asked me to own.
Is this a condo?
Mm-hmm.
So it
yeah.
means that the condo association has to go into an easement with the neighbor. Not necessarily just
Shit.
One unit.
Yeah.
I'm almost wondering if it'd be like...
How long ago was the sale?
How long ago was it installed?
I'm sorry, public comment. Could you introduce yourself?
No, okay.
Just trying to help out so we can all get at it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I mean, talk to the condo association will have an attorney. That attorney can help out with it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very simple. I'm sure the staff can help you with all the stuff because
mm-hmm.
they help folks with this all the time.
Okay.
Are we ready for a motion?
Yeah, I make a motion to approve this proposal with the details to be worked out at staff and contingent on these two properties going into an easement agreement before any work can be done.
All right, I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you for coming in.
If the owner, I'm leaving this part. If the owner asked me, because he asked me a million questions all the time, how long does the easement usually take? I know you could say 1 day to a year.
Yeah. Like not, we have no idea. It's not through us.
Yeah. Perfect.
I want to get a lawyer.
Okay.
There's plenty of those around town.
Yeah, the condo association probably has one, so I would,
okay.
I would check.
Yeah,
so
it's all
down. Looks like we have an applicant for 11.
So just out of curiosity, Tim Lupin, 535 Arabella Street, representing 1109 Decatur Street. Why are we in appeals and violations? Just out of curiosity.
I was reviewing the agenda and kind of wondered that myself. I think this maybe started with a violation case on the property.
It actually wasn't
a violation. A roof permit was put in, and I went to write the roof permit, and when I looked at the photographs that were submitted, I discovered this whole thing.
Got it. Okay.
So it was never a formal violation.
Sounds good. Let's hear the property report, and we'll all know what's happening.
1109 Decatur Street is a blue-rated building. It is a proposal to remove the existing hood vent and access path and to install new inline fan exhaust and roof hatch for application materials received February 27, 2024. The existing kitchen and exhaust for this property is atypically installed behind the service L building wall, almost certainly across the property line onto the neighboring 1107 Decatur Street property, and not a condition that can typically be approved. The existing conditions also feature an unfortunate rooftop access ladder or walkway across a significant part of the roof. In order to remedy these conditions, the applicant proposes to install a new rooftop exhaust and a new roof hatch. Staff notes that this work is being proposed in conjunction with a staff-approvable new slate roof. The proposed new exhaust would utilize an inline fan, so the above roof visible portion of the exhaust system would only be a gooseneck duct measuring approximately 1.5 feet by 1 foot. The proposal also includes a new roof hatch adjacent to the exhaust, measuring approximately 2 feet 6 inches wide by 3 feet long. Staff questions if any of the existing roof framing would need to be modified in order to install either of these elements. Given the dimensions, it appears that the exhaust shouldn't require changes to the framing, but the access hatch likely would. If the roof joists are to be modified, staff requests this information be added to the plans. The roof hatch is noted as being a galvanneled steel on both the curb and cover, and appears to be painted in a dark gray finish. No notes are provided on the material or finish of the exhaust. Staff notes care should be taken to avoid any possibility of galvanic reaction if copper is utilized in the new slate roof. If the exhaust is to be painted, staff recommends it be painted a color similar to the new roofing. Compared to the existing condition, staff finds the proposed to be a huge improvement. Although this proposal features 2 new roof penetrations, the removal of the atypical and likely non-approvable exterior duct and exhaust, as well as the removal of the crude rooftop walkway, are an overall beneficial to the building. Staff requests that repairs to the wall that is currently pierced by the exhaust duct be added to the scope of work. The guidelines note that the commission level review is required for any new roof hatches. Staff recommends approval of the proposal with the roof hatch portion of the proposal to be forwarded to the commission for review.
All right, thank you. Mr. Lupin, please introduce yourself and your relation to the property.
Tim Lupin, 535 Arabella Street, architect of the property.
All right. Will you be speaking too?
I shouldn't.
Very well.
He's the expert.
He's just a pretty face over a lot.
Got it. All right.
Thank you. As Renee said, this was sort of inspired by a request to basically put on a new slate roof. And, they've had issues over the years with the serviceability of the existing fan. The fan itself actually is on the adjacent property, which is owned by effectively the same two entities, so it's never been an issue. But we want to clean that up a little bit. So by doing what we're doing, it brings that fan into the same space. It does, I appreciate the staff's suggestion in this particular case for the inline fan. The unfortunate thing for the owner is it does take up some space within the building, which they are not utilizing, so they have no issue with it right now. So I think it's a good application for an inline fan in this particular case. It'll be easy for them to maintain. The roof hatch basically is to check on the any detritus that ends up on the new roof up there, and to provide them just with an opportunity to clean that off if they need to. So.
All right. Thank you. Committee, any questions?
Mm-hmm. I will say also, with regard to the framing, we've not taken off the drywall and the underside of that roof just yet. There's a space that shows about a 22-inch distance. We know we're going to have to beef that up a little bit in order to accommodate the new roofing. We're just from a deflection standpoint, when we get that off and we know exactly what that framing is going to be, we'll submit that so that you understand what we're doing.
All right. I note that there are no members of the public remaining, so there is no public comment. Committee has no questions.
Were there any other, did you guys mention any other details that you would like to see?
I think the only other thing you said was preparing the wall in the back.
Yeah.
Well, you can include that.
Yeah, just where it comes out right now, about 5 foot elevation, there's a hole, or 6 or 7 foot elevation, there's a hole where the existing vent comes out, and we'll obviously repair that.
It's actually coming out the back wall right now.
Yeah.
Where's the intake fan located?
The intake fan is in the courtyard on the other side. So.
All right. Are we looking at the back wall on slide 268?
Yeah. Existing hood to be replaced, lower left. That's
bottom
the back
left.
Wall. Yeah.
Go back.
Okay.
Sorry, that.
That
picture,
photo on the lower left, that's the back wall.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Oh, got it. And there's a penetration there somewhere that...
Yeah, it's the kitchen is on the first floor, so what you're looking at is basically the top of the roof of the attic. There's a first, second, and an attic level. So.
Got it. Okay. Committee, are we ready for a motion?
I just want, is there a, do you have a existing photo of that gallery, the exterior gallery?
That's a different property.
No, oh, it's not this
That's
property.
That's not this.
Okay.
That's
okay.
The confusion.
All right.
That's the neighboring.
Okay.
Right
yeah. All righty.
That's the confusion.
So that, basically everything on this side of that red wall is a different property.
Okay.
With the and that hood is on. If you've been to Molly's at the market, Coop's place, that's what these are, basically.
If I have, I did not remember that.
Well, obviously,
it's just
time,
too much
but,
drink.
So
that one.
That's what started this. Was
the
roof, and I looked at the photos and I said, "Where is this hood?"
Yeah.
This doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked at an aerial shot and it was on the other property.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I appreciate that you're doing all of it in conjunction with a new slate roof. Because it's fun to try to do it after.
Yeah.
Track, so. I think that's it for me.
All right. Well, are we ready for a motion?
Yeah, I make a motion to conceptually approve this with details to be submitted to staff.
All right. I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye,
going back through the agenda.
Thank you.
737 to 39
good
Barracks. We still have no applicant here. I guess we need to entertain a deferral.
I make a motion for a deferral for 737 to 739 Barracks.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Under appeals and violations, 711 Dauphine, staff, was everyone notified of this?
Yes.
Do we need to hear this without an applicant?
We could, it's pretty simple.
So
inclined.
What's your pleasure, committee?
If you think you're going to deny, it might be better to have an applicant.
Recommendations were approved.
Oh,
I think those
okay.
are recommended,
sorry.
Yeah.
If the recommendations for approval, then let's go ahead and hear it.
Sure. 709-713 Dauphine is a brown-rated building. It is a proposal to correct violations including installation of new electronic keypad door hardware. Fabrication materials received January 24, 2024. Staff cited this property back in 2022. An application was recently filed to address all the violations. Staff found the majority of the proposed work, which includes replacement of deteriorated gallery deck boards with new wood boards and repairs to soft materials, staff approvable. The one item staff wanted to bring to the committee is the proposed installation of electronic keypad hardware. The same electronic lock is proposed for installation of two separate doors that were previously cited for the installation of electronic keypads with large physical numbers. The proposed new lock features a black screen that only illuminates while in operation and can be unlocked with the keypad, thumbprint, or a hidden mechanical key. The current uncommitted keypad hardware did not replace any historic door hardware. Staff recommends approval of the proposed new electronic hardware.
All right. We have no applicant. Committee, do you have any questions for the staff?
Is that the only color available?
The only color available? I believe so, yes.
We need to get these on board with different color.
That's not it.
That's not it.
The door, it's just the lock.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Is that just an example of what it would look like?
Yes.
Uh-huh. That was just, yeah, someone was like from their review, posted their door was locked. Mm-hmm.
Oh, from the review online. Got it.
I'm trying to see. So they just give an example of it, so you don't necessarily know what it looks like when it's next to the hard, you know, other hardware and how it's placed on the door.
No, but I don't think there's
door.
That's
from slide
door.
Yeah, 224.
And let's also be clear of what this building is. This is on Dolphin Street. This is the mission. This is the gentleman. Very, God bless him. Takes in all the homeless people, showers, food. So he probably needs this for.
Oh, I bet he does.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a rough block there.
Just looking at slide 224, what's there existing with the push buttons looks black. It's pretty much the same color as what's proposed.
Mm-hmm.
We're just getting rid of the push buttons. I think it looks okay with the dark patina brass bowls.
And I assume that panel is large enough for that new...
But that key, looks like that key will go away. Because it looks like it's just a touch. It actually might be
the This control. Is the whole building, too, just in case you're...
I'm sure there's a way to... It says it's got a mechanical override, so I imagine that little button thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe covering up a keyway or something like that.
Yeah.
And this is one we've never approved before, so if you would like to say, you know, it's a test or something, that might be like another...
Yeah.
This is a rather unusual building as well. Not just its use, but also its lack of architecture.
Oh, in general?
It's French Quarter funky.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, is it something then the question becomes, is it something that you think would be approvable throughout the VCC?
I don't know. I think as a test, maybe?
Yeah, maybe depending on color rating or something. Sort of
yeah.
Whether you want this or not.
Oh, okay. What's the
And I think it would depend on the door, right?
Uh-huh.
It would depend on the panel and the locker, all that. This wouldn't fit everywhere.
If we say it's a test, it doesn't set a precedent, and it lets us move forward on this project. It helps these folks out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll be okay.
So, I mean, would that be the official, if we make a motion, it would be...
As a test case?
As a test case? Okay.
For a building of lower rating?
Okay.
Or specifically
for this address.
Yeah, or specifically
for
this address.
711
Dolphin.
Okay.
Are we ready for a motion?
Yeah. So, conceptually approved. Is it a conceptual approval or just an approval of the hardware specific to 711 Dolphin as a test?
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. That brings us to the end of our agenda. We have no items left to consider. Our next architecture committee date is March 26th. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
At 3:16, I second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you.